This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Just getting going on a Thursday. Thanks to Pete Medhurst for getting us started. NFL action tonight should be good. You've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns. Steelers surprisingly good without Ben Roethlisberger, and the Browns disappointingly bad with a lot of health. The quarterback, Baker Mayfield, struggling, though.
They are in disarray, man. Early season, we should have known. Freddie Kitchens maybe a bit over his skis. Offensive line issues. That's what I thought would hold this team back. I didn't know it would be like this. I didn't buy some of the Cleveland hype. They got great skill guys. We know about the headliners. We know about Myles Garrett and Odell Beckham and Baker, who I thought should have been rookie of the year when he set the touchdown record, but whatever. That's a good club. Their offensive line was going to be a disaster, and Freddie Kitchens doesn't seem to be maximizing things or keeping things in line. They got a guy kicking somebody week one, getting ejected. Not the best look for this Cleveland Browns team. They had to go through a really tough part of their schedule. Didn't pick up any birdies, though, throughout the way to leave themselves a really tough road down the stretch here. They could still get back into this thing, but man, has it been disappointing.
This sounds crazy, but I really believe this, and I want to know if you think anything to this. So Freddie Kitchens might be a terrible head coach. I have no idea. Seems to me like it was a reach to hire him and hand him the keys to this really nice vehicle that was put together by John Dorsey and company. But I almost wonder if this is why guys like him aren't often hired, right? Because as unfair as it is, I think him sounding country like this and looking like he does, kind of disheveled at the podium and overweight and always wearing something that looks like it's got wrinkles in it. What do teams hire? They hire these guys that look like Sean McVay and Cliff Kingsbury. You got to look the part. You don't see dudes like Freddie Kitchens getting jobs that often. Remember when Russ Grimm used to interview for jobs all the time, and the story was he would like show up for interviews with like coffee stains on his shirt, basically, and he just wanted to talk about football and O-line play? I know it's one of those awkward things to talk about, but I think the first thing that happens when a team stinks and a guy like Freddie Kitchens, who sounds like this and looks like he does,
like he could be sharp as a tack,
exactly,
and yet doesn't come across.
He might
that
be
way.
The smartest head coach in football. We don't know it, and everyone just acts like he's a goofball and he's an idiot because he looks like and sounds like he eats a Cracker Barrel every single morning at 9 a.m. I think he's getting a little bit of a raw deal, is my point. Now, again, could he be a bad coach? Possibly. I just think there's so much now in this world based on what you look like, which is unfair. You look at TV and people that get jobs and don't and all these things. You got to look the part. If you look a certain way, you're gold. I think we hire head coaches that way largely. This person's my CEO. They're going to be at the podium. So the first thing with the Browns struggling is, well, Freddie Kitchens. And you hear this all the time. We talk about this too. I know it's a big topic. We're getting into some heavy combos now, but like, minority African-American quarterbacks. Like, the first thing people will say all the time incorrectly is what they can and can't do, and there are people that take a lot of issue with that, I think, correctly and fairly. This is overstated, maybe, but I just wonder if part of the Freddie Kitchens is dumb and needs to be fired is that he doesn't look like Sean McVay or Cliff Kingsbury.
I bet you that's a factor. I mean, seriously, it is. I bet you that's something. Now, remember when everybody who was hiring a head coach, you had to be basically like young and handsome, boy band style, and you had to have a little spike in your hair, maybe a little frosted tip, I don't know, but it had to be styled and plumed, right? Think about that. There was a rash of them, whether it was after McVay, but it was LaFleur and Kingsbury and all these different guys that had to look like that, like Kyle Shanahan. It looked like he could walk into a bar and try to pick up a single lady. That was kind of the theme. To me, I don't necessarily care about that. I want if you're going to be disheveled, you can be Bill Belichick. I want the smartest guy in the room no matter what.
Agreed.
I don't care what you sound like. I don't care. Tall
or
short you are.
Do you agree with me?
I do care. That it's easy for me outside. I'm not following the daily minute-by-minute decision-making, right? I'm not. I don't know. I don't follow it the way that I would follow Jay Gruden or Bill Callahan just because I'm not in that market. But you see what you see from afar. You see a little bit of well, they can't block anybody. They constantly seem to be getting picked on by the analytics guys. If, you know, next thing you know, they're 3-6. So you go, that guy's over his head. I think it's a factor. I think you're right.
You see McVay's perfectly manicured beard or Kingsbury wearing a suit that cost him thousands of dollars. And the assumption is like that guy's got his stuff together. And then you look at the hoodie and the kind of like neck beard of Freddie Kitchens, who sounds like this. And I think it's just, that guy's not a good head coach.
I bet there's something to that, man.
But could be wrong. And again, maybe he isn't a good head coach. I don't know. I'm just not sure that he's going to get the chance that those other guys get. And there just aren't many people that get hired that are in the Freddie Kitchens mold. I remember people were shocked when he got the job. Well, the Browns are now 3-6. By the way, in the AFC right now, so the Steelers are 5-4, I mentioned. With a win tonight, they'd pull even with Kansas City, which would have them tied for the fifth best record.
After that start and no Ben Roethlisberger. Think about that.
They have been a completely different team over the last several weeks. Now, Mason Rudolph will get attention and credit for helping them win football games by not turning the ball over, and he's improving, it seems like, week in and week out. But make no mistake about it. If you want to waste your time applauding and giving the quarterback all the love because he plays that position, you go ahead. This is about the Steelers' defense.
The defense, the turnovers they are forcing. It looks like an area code, 4-3-4 the last several weeks. They're ripping off basically three a game. They're finding the way to do that. That defense with a bunch of first-rounders over the years, they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I lampooned it at the time. This egg on this guy's face.
You want to know the list of the teams that have allowed fewer points this year than the Steelers?
I'm going to guess. Patriots won.
Yep.
Vikings?
I'm going just AFC.
Here. Oh, just AFC? That might be all she wrote.
Bills.
Oh, Bills. I should have gotten
the Bills. New England, Buffalo, and then Pittsburgh. That defense travels.
Yep.
And that defense has a chance to win a big game for them tonight against the Cleveland Browns to get them to 6-4. They're starting to take shape as maybe a playoff team. Now, I don't think they could make a run because I am a proponent of, I've always heard, defenses get you to the playoffs and quarterbacks win you playoff games, essentially. Doesn't have to be QBs by themselves, but they got to be a net plus, not a net minus. And I don't know that Mason Rudolph can do that yet. But the Steelers, outscoring their opponents by just 12 points on the year, find themselves now a game over 500.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to hockey real quick. Last night, the Caps got a huge win. They've now played 20 games, possible 40 points. They've gotten 32 of them after another win last night. Get this. They played 20 times. They've gone to overtime 9 times. Last night, a shootout win thanks to Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Kuznetsov snaking his way into the zone. Left, then right. From the right circle in. Thanks. Shoots. Scores. Went high. Blocker side on Hart. And the Capitals have punched in twice here.
Braden Holtby, dominant last night.
He was great.
He gets you that win. 968 save percentage for him. Allowed one goal. Nothing he could do about it. In 65 minutes, and then he was sharp in the shootout as well.
Carter Hart was awesome for Philadelphia.
Shockingly, yeah.
I was told they had a goalie problem. That's not a problem. That guy looked amazing.
No, he was really good. That was as good a defensive and goaltending game as they've gotten in weeks, I think. But he's a good goalie. I mean, last year when they turned it on in the second half, after they fired their head coach, he really struck gold.
Agree or disagree? I thought the Capitals' first period, where they ended up 1-0, I thought that was a shame because I thought that was their best period of the season. That outshot Philadelphia 16-5, controlled every element of play. Philadelphia couldn't do anything. And the Capitals probably deserved 3 or 4 goals out of that period. I thought they were awesome in that first period.
That was as great a 20 minutes, certainly on the road, where they're 9-0-1 this year, by the way.
Is that good?
As they've played. But they've been a lot of fun to watch. Jacob Verana is on the show today at 12:45. He, of course, had 5 goals in 2 games at one point last week. Had his first hat trick. We'll ask him about that. Make sure you're listening. Jacob Verana, 12:45 today, right here on Grant and Danny. Also last night, the Wizards played, and because they played a close game where they gave up 1 million points. We now have an MO for this team.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun to watch, by the way.
I genuinely enjoy it. I know it sounds losery to talk about it, watching them not win games.
But we knew they were going to lose a lot of games.
Beal is a grown man, dropped 44 last night, was hyper-efficient, was amazing.
I believe that was the 6th highest point total since they left Boston Garden by an opponent in Boston. 25 years worth of basketball.
Good nugget by you. Watching a bunch of kids with great enthusiasm learn on the job. They are unselfish. They play for each other. They don't care who gets the credit. I enjoy watching them. Now, they can't stop anybody. I mean, anybody at this point. So you're going to get end-to-end. They're going over on every night.
But you get some fun. You get Isaiah Thomas, Borden 18. He's fun to watch. Rui Hachimura, 21 more. That guy can score. He can shoot the basketball. He can score. I know you want him to rebound a little bit better. But so far, that looks like a really good pick.
It does.
In the back of the top 10. I've even enjoyed watching Troy Brown. Didn't know I'd say that early this season. But he looks like an NBA player as well. And Thomas Bryant, 14-7 last night, was good. Call me crazy, but another 2-7. Like, I'm going out to the Capital One Arena to watch them play soon. It's a lot of points. It's up and down basketball. You're probably going to see someone in the 130s. I'm okay with that.
Me too.
We knew what we signed up for this year. Last year, they sold us a bill of goods. We knew they were not as good as they thought they were. This year, they said, hey, we're not going to be that good. But you might see Brad Beal pour in 40, and we're going to play really hard with some young guys. Mo Wagner last night had a dozen. I'll watch this.
Give me Davis Bertans on a little trailer action on the break, knocking down threes. It's fun. Some fun.
Why not? If you're going to lose, lose with a purpose.
Do it this way. Exactly right.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We've got progress being made towards 17 games and fewer preseason games in the NFL. A big step was taken yesterday. We'll give you the details on the news and also react to a longer NFL season next on G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is a report by Mark Maskey in the Washington Post. Came down yesterday afternoon that you'll see today in print. Negotiators for the NFL and the league's Players Association have made meaningful progress towards a new labor agreement that is more and more likely to include a 17-game regular season, which, of course, would mean fewer preseason games. Presumably, you'd still have 20, and rather than the 16-4 structure, we'd have 17-3, although I'm not sure that all those details have been ironed out. But there is great momentum for this, and it is buoying optimism for an agreement to be in place by the end of the upcoming season. In fact, Maskey wrote in the paper this morning, representatives of the sides have continued to meet during the year. It appears a deal could be in place during the playoffs in January or at the Super Bowl in February in Miami. He also says if there's no agreement by the Super Bowl, pressure would then increase on the sides to strike a deal. They're working against the clock for a couple of reasons. Number one, the CBA expires after next season. So if you get to the end of this year, you're 1 year away from the whole CBA expiring, and you might just wait and have this be a big part of that. The other point of this is, and I didn't think about this, the owners want to get this done now, so they're willing to give more concessions because they've been working with a bunch of players for the NFLPA that are the team and union reps, and they all change potentially in March. So they feel like this is a group they're having some success.
This is a good window.
Progress with, so they want to get this done now. But what's your initial reaction? I know it's not necessarily the 500-foot home run Juan Soto the opposite way in Houston that everybody wants in terms of perfect, but it could be better. 17-3 to me, upgrade over 16-4.
It's the ultimate no-brainer, and I would settle, by the way, on 17. I love 17. Nobody else does. People, they say, oh, another game is fine. It's better than one more preseason game, etc. All I've ever wanted in my sport, I want winners and losers. That's why we do it. That's why we keep score. Not having winners and losers, that's for what I do with my six-year-old and the Wolfpack and then the baseball games we play. That's not for them. For adults, for pros, where records are kept, I want winners and losers. I don't want ties. I want nothing but winners and losers. I hate that people can hide behind 500.
It's meaning you need an odd number of games.
I've always wanted an odd number in all my sports. I'll never get it, but that's what I've wanted. I want a special rivalry game. I want some sort of regional thing. I want fun in sport. I want regular seasons to matter more than they do. And I think that's the challenge. I think the NFL has mastered that. The other sports, I know we're getting into the different things here, but think of hockey, think of baseball, think of basketball with load management, guys taking games off, days off, road trips, how tough they are. Regular seasons have never mattered less. It's why the NFL is kink, because they figured out a way to make a weekly appointment must-see television for basically 25 weeks out of the year. I love 17 games as a number. I probably love it an irrationally large amount.
I think my perfect way of scheduling the NFL would be 18-2. You give me two more games, you get rid of two preseason games. I am a bigger proponent of the preseason being necessary than you are.
Without a doubt.
We've debated that for 6 years on the show. I think if you don't have any preseason, the product at the beginning of the year gets worse. I think that's common sense and everyone agrees. I don't want that. When people say, oh, the product's already getting worse at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year. And you're right. It is. I don't want to make it even far worse than it already is. You get less hours on the field, less time on the grass, as coaches like to say, fewer practices than you've ever had before. It all adds up to players being ill-prepared and teams not being ready to go in the first week of September and 1,000 penalties and a bad product. And I hate watching people roll their eyes and tell me how bad week one football is. It's only going to get worse. So I'm having some preseason. I think that's necessary. But I do 18-2. If I had to do something else, so 17-3 or 19-1, honestly, I think I would go 19-1. I like 20 games overall as the sweet spot where we already are. You don't have to really tweak the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going back before Labor Day. I think that'd be a mistake. And by the way, the league has said over and over and over again to anyone who will listen adamantly, they have no interest in starting the season earlier. They wouldn't have week one in August if they extend the regular season. Or if they change 20 weeks to even longer than that or something like that. Let's say they did like 18 regular season games and had three preseason games. It wouldn't start earlier. It would just go a little deeper into the winter, which I prefer, to be completely honest. But I think my best case scenario, just me, Commissioner Paulson, 18 regular, two pre. And then if that's not it, then I would advocate for 19-1. I don't know that we need, I know we don't need four preseason games. We've said that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think three is a perfectly fine amount, but still a little bit aggressive. And I'm always kind of operating under the assessment that you need to keep. We've already got the weeks carved out. We've already got the system in place, so why not just keep 20? But you could also do less, right? You could have.
And that's where I am. We have
17
20.
And 2.
And that's kind of where I am. That's, again, I'm putting my disdain for the preseason aside. Realistically, I think you could do two games. You could do one where your actual players play and then one where you figure out who's going to make your team or not. Right? The back end.
Kind of what I'm thinking.
So I think 17-2 would be great. I know the players would go for it. Owners wouldn't because they just love that revenue so much.
Would you rather 17-2 or 18-2?
17-2. Because I want.
You're not just for more regular season football because your priority is the winning, losing thing.
17 is what I've always hoped for.
Okay,
I've always
what about
wanted that.
17-2 or 19-2?
I'd prefer 17, I think, unless you do some dramatic roster changing.
You're going to have to change rosters and tweak some things, obviously, if you're expanding that wide anyway. This probably just is short-sighted by me. I just want more football.
Which I get.
I love football. I'd like more regular season games.
So if we're doing 19, I need more bye weeks. I need more thoughtful scheduling. It's really hard, by the way, to do that master thing with all the – it's like the world's most complicated word problem.
Yeah, there's an algorithm.
From calculus class.
It's not done by humans anymore. It's done in a computer. But, yeah, you would change the bye week structure. You'd probably at least add one more. So the season would go several weeks longer if you went 19. Obviously, you'd have three more games, maybe another bye week. Talking about another month where the season's not ending until February. Now, everyone hears that, and they go, oh, you can't do that. No, thanks. I promise you, come February 2nd.
What, you're not going to watch? Is that what you're doing?
Week 20, you're not going to be that upset. I promise.
Yeah, what else are you doing in January?
Now, if you're the Dolphins right now, or like, think about this. The Redskins 1-8. If they played 18 games instead of 16, played 19
There's
games
instead
more. Of 16, it just would feel like it never ends. For those years where your team is, you know, the Bengals right now, I mean, they can't draw as it is. That season just feels like forever, an absolute eternity for that fan base. What do you guys think of what would be a small tweak, but it sounds like one that could absolutely be coming as soon as next year? Major progress made yesterday via Mark Maskey of the Post. 17 regular season games and maybe trimming the preseason by at least a game. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800 636-1067. Would this be enough? Would you like it? Would you do more? Maybe you want to keep everything how it is. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I got a tweet from someone. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. We were talking in our first segment about tonight's Browns-Steelers game, and I just kind of made an offhand comment that I thought the Steelers might make the playoffs. They're 5-4. They win tonight. They're 6-4. They're in good shape. And somebody tweeted me and said, have you seen how soft their schedule is the rest of the way? They'll definitely make the playoffs. Have you looked at their schedule?
The Browns?
Steelers.
Oh, Steelers. I misunderstood. Yeah, they've got a – I don't want to say it's cake.
It's cake.
But it's winnable.
They play the Browns 2 times.
Yeah.
Both of those games very winnable. They play the Bengals. They play the Cardinals. They play the Bills, who are the worst 6-win team maybe ever. They play the Jets. Their only game that is difficult – I won't say difficult. All those games you could lose, I guess, in the NFL – but their only game that they will be heavy underdogs in, presumably, is the Ravens in Week 17.
And that's assuming that the Ravens need it.
Correct. Right now, they're the 2 seed. Now, more than likely, they're going to have to put someone away and to be the 2 seed and get the bye. But if they wrap that up a week earlier, you could get a quarter of their starters. They could be a 13 or 14-win team, potentially. Who knows? I'm guessing they'll be 12-4. But maybe that game's not as bad as you'd think either.
Cleveland twice in 3 weeks is wacky.
It really is.
That's wacky.
The Redskins had that several years ago.
With the Giants?
It was either the Giants or the Eagles, where they had like the back-to-back games, it felt like, with one game sandwiched in between. You don't see it in the division very often. But you said earlier, scheduling this league is almost impossible.
It's the world's worst word problem. It's like Jimmy can't sit next to Tim, and Tim can't sit next to within 3 feet of Brian, and Brian can't be near Phil for any reason.
But then Edgar has to be in the corner of the room. And there's a tarantula somewhere.
And next thing you know, there's 7 straight road games for the Redskins.
Right. That's how it works out sometimes. Here's a question. As we're talking about the NFL news of the morning, Mark Maskey of the Washington Post reporting last night that it looks like we are trending pretty quickly, by the way, big development, towards 17 regular season games and maybe fewer preseason games. We're just assuming it'd be 17-3, but the news would be you're adding a regular season game one way or the other. What is your take on that, 800-636-1067? So we've been discussing it. I dig it a lot. So does Danny. I happen to believe that the perfect way to do this is 18 games with 2 preseason games. Danny loves odd number of games. And we got a tweet from someone here, Nash, asking, 17-game season like you want, odd number of games. How do you handle the home-away scheduling? I think that's always the first question. I know the proponents like you most of the time say neutral site. I think you'd have to admit that owners would hate that because
would absolutely hate it.
You're not getting a gate, although neutral site, maybe you get like a third of the gate. The other team gets a third, and then whoever's holding the game maybe gets a third. I don't know how you would work that out. But I know the owners wouldn't like it, and I can't imagine the players would like it.
Or like they would. And that's what's complicated about it. What it probably end up being is you'd alternate extra home game versus non-extra home game year over year. Right? Like even number of years, the NFC gets one, odd number of years, the AFC gets one, something to that effect, or you could do it by division. Again, it'd be another complication of that algorithm.
You could expand some interest, though, if you're playing in either college stadiums or some towns where they don't have football anymore.
Which would I would love.
If you had games at, I'm assuming Qualcomm is still standing in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
No, if you went and you played a neutral site game there, or in a year from now, you went back to the Coliseum and played in Oakland. No, or St. Louis. You don't think in that big dome that's sitting vacant, we drove past every day to go to Busch Stadium for Nats, Cardinals, and LCS. You couldn't fill that place once with an NFL game, neutral site.
I think stuff like that would be cool. Like your secondary city, You know, so I don't know what Baltimore would do specifically, but I think of the Redskins, right? Maybe you play a game in Richmond, although the relationship's not great now. But you see my point. You would do something like that. Atlanta could go to where UGA plays, you know, an hour and change down the road. Everybody
could
do something.
You know who would love that is Bruce.
Oh, there we are back in the old stomping grounds.
Former punter at Richmond.
I punted right over there.
He would love that. Sam's in Bowie on Grant and Danny. What's
Sam
up, Sam?
Sam Bowie, drafted head of MJ.
Hey. Well, there's one thing that about the schedule a lot of us are forgetting about, which is all of these international games that they want to do that one team loses a home game in order to play them. I think what they should do is a couple things. They should do the 17 games with two preseasons, but they also should solve another major problem if they do the two preseasons, is they should have a second bye week for these teams. Because
100%.
This week three and then go all season without it, and then someone else is getting it smack in the middle. But that second bye week, they should do some sort of mid-season kind of pep rally-ish type of open practice, fan appreciation type thing for the fans to come out and kind of, you know, root the team on and maybe see an open practice and do something like that. So use that second game or that odd game for international. Add an extra game, make that the extra game, and then that'll be nice. And then that second bye week can either be before or after the international game, so teams – you know, stop complaining about it.
I dig all that, except I don't want to have an international game every season for every team. I want fewer of those, not more of those. That's just my opinion.
I get it, but that kind of solves your neutral site quandary.
It does.
You get your London, you get your Mexico City, you can get your Vancouver, your Toronto, whatever you want. You could sort of get those cities involved too. That solves a lot of things for owners because they could deal with one less gate if it means they're going to sell $1 billion of merch in that city with a bunch of expats and people that are all of a sudden excited about the Jaguars.
I think there are a lot of good ideas in that call. A Guylo on Twitter says, my proponent for the 17th game, his proposal is regional rivalry home and home year over year. So I'm guessing like the Redskins and the Ravens would be the regional rivalry.
Which I'd love.
And then the 17th game, basically, it doesn't have to be week 17, but every year you play the Ravens a la college football, year in, year out, you're home and away, you're kind of trading off. I don't hate that at all. Tony in Fredericksburg, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What's up,
so
man?
There's a few things that you can go on with this. I ultimately think it's going to be international games, which is by doing that, that's going to end any discussion of relocating a franchise to London because you're going to have a game there every week. On top of that, I'm all for the second bye week. And then what people aren't discussing is probably roster expansion. So
yes.
I can see the 53 moving to like 55, 56. Also giving more to the practice squad instead of 10, having maybe 13 or so, because losing that extra bye week, or the extra preseason game, really hinders who you're going to have on your bottom end of the roster. So it's kind of one of those interesting things that you're imagining all this stuff's going to happen, but like I said, I think roster expansion is ultimately going to be what's the main component going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. I think the reason people don't talk about it that much is it's the easiest part of the whole thing. You add games, you add players. Now, we could have another conversation about if you're watering down the product by having more guys in the league and the guys that aren't now are. They're the back of the roster. They may or may not play. I think that the bye week stuff is harder to actually figure out and legislate and work. But if you had one regular season game, it's not a slam dunk you'd add a bye week. I certainly would. I like the proposal from a couple calls ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you add two regular season games and you're up to 18, I think it's a no-brainer at that point. You'd have to add another bye week.
And you get another half bye week if you play on a Thursday. Something like that. Like,
right.
You sort of figure that out. You don't come. You just try to avoid the Sunday to Thursday thing. And I think players should want that.
I don't know if mathematically you'd be able to do that completely, but I'm sure it'd be preferentially if you have a second bye week. More often than not, teams could avoid it.
Right.
Right now, everybody's doing that once. Let's go to Matt and Stafford on G&D. What's up,
hey, Matty?
What's up? I like all these ideas. If there's 18 weeks of football, you could add a bye week and still have 16 games because I'm obsessed with the synchronicity between 16 games, eight divisions, all having four teams. And there's something to say about 19-0. If you add more games, people are going to run away with their divisions faster. They're going to sit their guys. Then they're going to lose games. And no one's ever going to be able to catch that number. You know, somebody is going to win out and they're going to be, you know, 21-0 or 20-1. Is that less better than 19-0, you know? So
appreciate you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Look, it, it's going to separate the haves and the have-nots from a class standpoint.
Like in a year like this, where you've got a bunch of bad teams.
Yeah.
Right?
And I don't know if this is the new trend, because we're starting to see more teams a la baseball. You call it tank. I call it rebuild. I don't mean you, Danny. I mean you, America.
You, Darvish.
People call it tanking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I call it building properly.
Yeah.
Being bad as a means to an end. Being bad to get good again. There's two ways to do this thing. You either are bad on purpose and build, or you are the Redskins. Teams that don't acknowledge that they're bad, and you just perpetually spin your wheels for year after year after year, and you never really have a shot. That having been said, I get the fear that it would kind of widen the gap between the rich and the poor, the Bengals and the Patriots, and it makes for a longer, potentially worse product in that way. Yesterday's big news, before all this came down in the NFL, was that Colin Kaepernick was getting a workout this weekend. There's an update on that. The NFL said it was going to do something that it's now not doing. It doesn't look great for them. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You know, like all players, I mean, we're on the waiver wire, you know, on a daily basis, and we do our due diligence on all players. So, yeah, we'll have someone there. I mean, we're still finalizing how that we just got that information just like you guys did. So still finalizing, you know, who, when, what time, you know what I mean? We're still kind of going through that. But, yeah, still we'll have somebody there.
That's Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. They will be sending at least a team representative to watch Colin Kaepernick's Saturday workout in Atlanta. You heard the details yesterday. We broke it all down here on Grant and Danny. If you missed our discussion, you can grab the podcast at any point at thefandc.com/audio or even use the rewind function. Goes back 24 hours on radio.com, which is an excellent app if you haven't tried it out. Yesterday someone said, you know, I wish I could listen to your show, but I'm just never in the car. I said, oh, well, if only there was a phone and an app for that.
Just looking at what year it was. Said, oh, yeah, look at that.
You know, a lot of people don't listen to us on the radio anymore. It's a shame, but the radio's kind of going, unless you're in the car, the way the dodo. People don't sit there and just have, like, actual radios they turn the knobs on
you
anymore.
You could turn your John Cusack boombox up and blast it outside of somebody's house that you're in love with, and you secretly hope they fall back in love with you after you did them wrong. But there are a million ways to listen.
Radio.com. The app's great. But we were talking about it yesterday. The league hit up Kaepernick's reps on Tuesday out of the blue, said that they had a workout it's scheduled for him on Saturday in Atlanta. It's a very weird day to do a workout. Obviously, there are college games going on all over the country, so some GMs are traveling, although most GMs stay with teams. But folks involved in the scouting department are traveling. Now, a lot of teams differentiate between the amateur draft, you know, the prospects in college and the professional ranks, the Redskins as an example, have two different departments. So I guess you could say you could send your pro guys, but those folks oftentimes are doing advanced scouting for the next game, you know, a week out. So the Redskins might have a couple of their pro scouts at the Lions game because that's who you're playing a week from now. And a lot of times those guys travel with the team. So it was just odd that it was set up on a Saturday, not the Tuesday where workouts are normally done, which is the league-sanctioned off day, where more people are available. Kaepernick and his reps tried to get it on a Tuesday. The NFL said no. They tried to push it back an extra Saturday, so he had a little more time to prepare, and maybe more importantly, some more teams could show up. The league said no. The one thing the league did kind of grant Kaepernick and his reps, according to all the reports, was they told him that they were going to let him know who was coming. They wanted to know which representatives would be at this workout. And the NFL said they'd provide a list, like a rolling list of the people who were going to come. That's no longer the case. They told Kaepernick yesterday they wouldn't be doing that. My fear is that he shows up for a workout and there's nobody there. But we already know that that's not going to be the case.
Right. It may not be exactly who he wants.
And that's the thing. I'm sure he wants some GMs, some assistant GMs. I think most of those guys are not going to be there. But you've heard coaches now from the Dolphins. You just heard from Flores. as well as the Lions, Falcons, and Bucks all say they will have somebody on site at the Falcons practice facility on Saturday. In addition to that, John Elway has told 9 News in Denver that he's going to be represented by his staff at the workout. And the Redskins, after Bill Callahan at the podium yesterday said, no, we're not going to have anyone there, actually came out via spokesperson and said they are sending someone.
They're going to send a scout or something?
So okay. I don't think that's a change of mind. Maybe it's a miscommunication. Interesting.
Because Callahan's like, I'm not going. We got a game.
Well, it's just funny because Bill Callahan runs everything. So you would think, you know, when he says right at the podium, yeah, we got 3 quarterbacks on the roster. We're good, thanks. And then afterwards, someone comes out and goes, actually, we are sending someone.
We're going to be sending someone.
2 weeks ago, there was a report that he runs everything and has the final word.
The undermining.
So there you go. Cowboys Cardinals also plan to be at the workout, according to ESPN. Doesn't look good, though, for the NFL. They tell Kaepernick they'll do something, and now they're not.
So this is such a complicated thing. Because I'm going to put a hat on. I now work for the NFL. I'm now part of the NFL office. Whoever's in charge, what department this is, that put this thing together or had this brainchild and decided that this is what we're going to do. I could say, I understand you had some special circumstances. I get it. But there are a lot of free agents right now that don't have teams. Camp Chancellor, Eric Berry, a bunch of guys that are sort of floating around in the ether that would love this opportunity. This is an unprecedented thing that we're doing for a quote-unquote street free agent. Again, I understand there are exceptional circumstances. That's why we're doing something exceptional. What player could get this? What player in the history of this game has ever gotten this? Everyone else has to do the same due process where your agent calls the team or the team calls your agent, flies you in, sets you up a workout. You get a T-shirt and a team duffel bag to use while you're there, and then you go on your merry way and you go back to working out at your home gym, right? Nobody's ever gotten this before. This is a huge deal.
Nobody's ever gotten the money he got by suing the NFL for being blackballed either.
Yes, and this is my point. So this opportunity that you have is a great one. That's my NFL hat. I now put on my Colin Kaepernick team hat, and you're going, come on, dude. We all know what this is. You're doing this so that I go away. We know what you're doing.
Pretty clear.
We know what you're doing. We know that you are scheduling this to be able to check a box, whether it's legally or otherwise, that says, we gave him a chance. We gave him a workout that nobody's ever gotten before. Look at what we did.
We scheduled the workout.
We
years
see
from
through
now,
this.
Some of the details of, well, it got, you know, it popped up on a Tuesday for a Saturday, and it was made really hard for teams to get there, and the fact that they wouldn't budget all to help Kaepernick, all that goes away because if you just want to look at the black and white of it, they're scheduling a workout for all 32 teams to come so that they can find out how ready Colin Kaepernick is. They can say that. They're not wrong. There's just a lot of nuance that you're missing. Eric Reed was one of the guys who originally in San Francisco took a knee with Colin Kaepernick. He was in that lawsuit and was awarded some of the money that Kaepernick was because he, too, was the allegation, blackballed and out of football at one point in time. Now, he's much better at what he does than Kaepernick is, in my opinion. He's a really, really good safety. Kaepernick is an okay quarterback. And so Eric Reed's back in the league. It's funny how he's back in the league playing. Kaepernick is not. Those two guys kind of inextricably linked for taking a knee, even though Kaepernick was the face of the movement. This was Reed yesterday talking in the locker room.
It feels like the same play from the NFL. It feels disingenuous. They told Colin that he has the opportunity and that the league will send representatives from each team, but it's a Saturday before a game. Teams are traveling on Saturdays. So what head coach or GM is going to be able to make this trip? But as far as I know, Colin's going to be there, and he's going to perform because I know he's right.
27-year-old Eric Reed, now at the Panthers in his second year. He was with San Francisco with Cap. It's part of a 5-year run with the Niners. And he's never been out of football for any extended period of time. He played every single season since 2013. 13 games in Carolina last year, 13 the year before that in San Francisco. He felt like one of the reasons, though, he had a hard time getting a job in free agency was because of taking a knee, and he's probably right about that. One thing I'll say is, you heard in that comment, and a lot of people are saying this. I'll make this real quick because I know we got to hop. No coaches or GMs can come. No coaches or GMs were coming anyway. That's not who would come scout Colin Kaepernick. Now, if this is in the offseason, okay, maybe. Maybe a guy will fly there who runs a front office because he's got nothing better to do. But in season, I don't care if this thing was 6 weeks in advance on a Tuesday, a head coach is not flying to watch a quarterback. Sorry,
maybe
that's not
Dan
happening.
Quinn could do it because it's in his building.
Maybe.
Maybe.
A GM is not doing that. Now, more likely a GM than a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who this is for. This is a scout thing in season. GMs go watch things in the offseason. That's when they do something like that.
They're there for the Senior Bowl. They're there for the East-West Shrine Game. They're there for all that stuff.
But like Diana Rossini, a friend of ours for ESPN, you know, said, I'm talking to a lot of people. Doesn't sound like any coaches are going to, like head coaches are going to be there.
Correct.
No kidding. It's Saturday.
Yeah.
In the middle of the season. They wouldn't go there if Pat Mahomes was working out for people.
And I'll tell you this. Let's say the Redskins had a dire need. I would scream bloody murder if Bill Callahan went to that thing. Not
right.
Because it had nothing to do with capital.
Please get ready for the
Jets. I don't care who it is. For God's sakes, man. There's a football game the next day.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's almost Darius Geist time for the Redskins. We can get into that next. Plus, Berries for Luga at 11:30 wrote a nice piece on what the Astros did as they have been found by way of one of their players in the past coming out and saying they cheated to have done something that you are not allowed to do. What will baseball do to slap them on the wrist? Gosh, for Luga on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.